sir. We promised you a great
gorgeous
event.
Gorgeous George.
Here we come. Classy, the maker of
Andre, the child.
WrestleMania.
Do I have everybody's attention now?
Whiskey Rebellion Radio is a Pantless Aggression production.
The internet is a completely different culture, isn't it?
You said it. Everything here is immediately followed by sarcastic comments and nasty responses.
Yep. We're finally where we belong.
Well, I woke up Sunday morning with no way to hold my head. That didn't hurt. And the beer I had for breakfast wasn't bad, so I had one more for dessert.
Together again. Gee, it's good to be together again. I just can't imagine that you've ever been gone.
Hey now, baby, get into my big black car.
This is the Jump Off Sun. Get your guns up. Get your drinks up. Report over to your radio for conservative podcast anthem of Sodom and Gomorrah. It's your new Sunday morning tradition. Welcome to Whiskey Rebellion Radio. I, of course, am one half of the show, the rated R Republican, the social media messiah, blogger without a cause, voice for the voiceless, heart and soul of YRS nationwide, yada, yada, yada. Long Island's own John Brodigan. And with me, as always, is the Chewbacca to my Han Solo and the Big Daddy Cool to my Heartbreak Kid, the People's Republic of Florida's own. Mark Rado, let's say hello to the audience, Mark.
You have 50 freaking nicknames. Who are you, Muhammad Ali?
I'm actually looking for an intern and my own hype guy to like do the announcements for me.
Seriously, you do need a guy to run around with crooked teeth and a clock around his neck and a big silly hat.
Yeah, boy.
I'm telling you. but you don't want to call him Flavor Flav or anything having to do with food, because then your own mayor of New York City will ban him.
Speaking of which, I've actually been very excited for this show. Because, you know, when we started it, we mentioned how we're going to do some new bits, but we got to bring back some of the old classics. And this one was always my favorite. I know it was your favorite, too. My favorite theme.
Are you actually bringing out the old themes? I thought we were going to get reduxes here.
No, I'm actually bringing out the old theme. The old classic
nice.
Theme. Ladies and gentlemen, the return of the You Fat Bastard update.
Oh, you're gonna take me home tonight. Oh, down beside that red firelight. Oh, you're gonna let it all hang out. Fat bottom girls, you make the rockin' world go round.
You're such a fat ass that when you walk down the street, people go, God damn it, that's a big fat ass.
I think this is also my wife's favorite bit that we used to do, to be honest with you. I think Melissa used to really enjoy the You Fat Bastard update.
She is our biggest fan.
She really, you know, it's fun. Well, that's the whole reason we got to do this again, because my wife was like, seriously, you're going to get back together with John and talk politics? Yeah, you can shirk off some of your fatherly duties, your husbandly duties to do that, because that I actually find fun, but could you really tone back a lot of this MMA crap?
As long as you're working with John, you can put Lily in the closet for all I care.
you know what? From her lips to your ears to God's, whatever. You know what I'm saying?
When do you want to start this week? Do you want to start at Taco Bell, or do you want to start in a bodega or New York City?
Well, let's start with Taco Bell, only because I need to proclaim my innocence on this. Now, Now, I understand that as legend has it, I was responsible for an entire Taco Bell in Long Island shutting its doors, shuttering its facilities because I was no longer there to patron their tasty tacos. However,
which is true.
Look, you can't prove causality in that one.
Here's the funny thing, though. You know, that Taco Bell, I've yet to step foot in the Chicken Holiday that's there now.
If it's still Chicken Holiday, that's got to be the longest thing that's ever stayed in that since the Taco Bell closed. Because it was something else before Chicken Holiday.
And this segment of running gigs is brought to you by Massapequa.
Yeah, for those of you tuning into the show for the first time, forget it. You're never going to catch up. Just run with us.
Long story short, Mark lived in Massapequa, had a Taco Bell at his street corner, moved, Taco Bell closed.
You can't prove causality. Okay? There were two things that happened at the same time. You can't prove one caused the other. That's all I'm going to say. But listen, while it may be the case that I moved away and an entire Taco Bell closed, and while it is proven that Taco Bell is a tasty treat in the Mark Radulich household, I am not the guy who ordered a taco at Taco Bell in Ohio, did not get the taco he ordered, and then proceeded to ram his truck into the front of the Taco Bell as a form of protest. Let that one sink in for a moment. Okay, and if you need me to repeat this, let me explain here what happened. Newsy, I don't know if anyone goes to this site, but Newsy.com did a video broadcast of this story. Basically, so the couple went through the drive-thru, and the driver noticed he was missing a taco. He went back to the window. He started yelling at the employees, and then he drove away, came back, smashed the building with his truck, and then drove away again. And the best part about this story is that the police actually, followed the trail of liquid that his car left behind. They can't confirm or deny that it was, in fact, hot or mild sauce. However, whatever... So the truck drove away. They followed the fluid back to the guy's house and arrested the guy. And seriously, the guy's reaction was basically, they should have given me the taco I ordered. You know what I mean? Can't find good help these days, Patooey.
You know.
But my favorite part of this story is, and this is a quote: if you think fast food fury is a rarity, it's not. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution notes drive-through drive-bys are becoming disturbingly familiar. 2 weeks ago, two men were arrested in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, after throwing a brick and piece of concrete through a McDonald's drive-through window after ordering cheeseburgers without onions and ketchup and getting the burgers with both. Listen, I'm not saying I haven't had crap service when I go through the drive-through, and boy, do I patron enough fast food restaurants to have a few stories. And as much as I've wanted to strangle the person who doesn't understand no cheese on that or extra cheese on that, I have had enough impulse control to not commit felony vandalism. You know what I mean, John? You know what I'm saying? You pick it up what I'm putting down?
My highlight was I went to Taco Bell one time for one of the new chalupas, and this particular Taco Bell ran out of nacho cheese sauce. Now, how a Taco Bell runs out of nacho cheese sauce and stays in business, I have no idea. Maybe that's what happened to the one on your street corner, though it's funny to say that it shut down because you moved. But I was angry. I looked at the guy funny because I couldn't believe Taco Bell didn't have nacho cheese sauce. But you know what happened? I didn't drive my truck to the window. I didn't beat the crap out of anyone. I didn't cause a ruckus. I just went next door to Burger King.
Not for nothing, but if you go into White Castle and get thrown out, you really shouldn't come back, you know, with a gun.
If I knew it would be this kind of a show, I would have brought the mashed potatoes. Huzzah!
Running gags. I love them. But what's scary about this, in all seriousness, is that if this is true, and I don't want to go as far as saying it's an epidemic. I don't want to necessarily quote the Atlanta Journal-Constitution as saying this is now becoming a trend. You know, you figure with the millions and millions of fast food purchases in this country per day, if you have a handful of nutters who react poorly to bad service with violence, I don't want to call that an epidemic just yet. You know, when McDonald's are burning by the millions, then we'll talk. However, it's still a little scary that we do have people in this country that do that sort of thing. But it's not nearly as scary as where John lives. I've referred to Florida as the People's Republic of Florida. But boy, when it comes to socialism and dictatorships and and do not fear, do not panic, let us do the thinking for you, boy, does your city of New York have it all over Florida, John.
Yeah, thank God that the New York GOP had all the sense and class and dignity to give Mike Bloomberg the GOP line when he ran for mayor for the third time. But yes, the illustrious Mayor Bloomberg, who, mind you, which, by the way, all of you people, no labels, everyone wants an independent candidate. You know, we want someone who shuns the right and left bitter politics. We're about no labels. Fuck you. This is the guy that you wanted to run. This is your guy.
Mayor Bloomberg. By no labels, you mean Hitler. Fantastic. Mission accomplished.
Yes, apparently Mike Bloomberg has decided that if you're too dumb to know that you should get the medium soda as opposed to the large soda, he's going to make the decision for you, and he wants to ban all sugary drinks bigger than 16 ounces.
Yeah, so what we're talking about here is what they're proposing. Now, let's not go running into the streets of New York and setting delis on fire just yet. Everybody hold their torches. It hasn't happened yet. What they're proposing is legislation limited to New York City that would limit the sale of any drink, any sugary drink, that's greater than 16 ounces. So 16 ounces is the limit. This does not include diet soda. This does not include anything that's more than half milk product. This does not include juice. So basically soda, regular soda.
Here's the funny thing. You can't sell any soda that's bigger than 16 ounces. Your average soda bottle, 20 ounces.
Right. So basically anything 20 ounces and over. What they're trying to do is, like, if you go to a movie theater or if you go to 7-Eleven and you decide that you want to buy a bucket of Mountain Dew, you can't anymore. However, if you want to buy two 16-ounce cups of Mountain Dew, you can do that. However, if you want to buy a 64-ounce bucket of Diet Mountain Dew, you can still do that, according to this law. Well, I don't know what's dumber here. The fact that his thesis behind this is, we just want to make it harder for you, or make you have to think. I actually have the quote here. We want to make it so that you have to think about what it is you're doing, or the fact that this isn't going to stop anyone from doing anything because of the reasons I just mentioned. I like that sigh that you do there, John. You do that very well. That sigh says it all.
I just, you know, it's, and I've got nothing.
Let's go to Bloomberg on this. Here's what the man said. He said, we've got to do something. Okay, because everybody is wringing their hands saying, we've got to do so. I don't know who the fuck everybody is, but, well, here's a concrete thing. You can still buy large bottles in stores. Hey, my wife just walked in with a soda that's more than 16 ounces. Hot damn.
Call the cops.
It's a sugary tea? Hot damn. This is a sweet tea?
It's wild berry tea.
Oh, it's wild berry tea. So it's got sugar in it.
Lots of sugar.
Am I holding contraband?
You are.
Oh,
we're in Florida.
Yeah, where you know, so it's still legal.
It's a giant ass soda.
All right. So anyway, you can still buy large bottles in stores, but in a restaurant, 16 ounces is the maximum they would be able to serve in one cup. If you want to order two cups of the same at the same time, that's fine. It's your choice. We're not taking away anybody's right to do things. No, you are taking away someone's right. You're taking away someone's right to buy a bucket of soda. There's no other way around that. We're simply forcing you. This is the best part. We're simply forcing you to understand that you have to make the conscious decision to go from one cup to another. New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg said about his proposal to ban sugary drinks 16 ounces or larger. That's that sigh again. My dad once said to me, he was like, listen, I can't stop you from having sex, but I can make it harder for you, when I was a teenager, when I'm still living in his house. That's essentially what Michael Bloomberg is saying to you New Yorkers. I can't stop you from being fat bastards, but I can certainly make it harder. John, how do you feel about that?
Mike Bloomberg needs to shut up.
How do you feel about Mike Bloomberg wanting to be your dad?
First of all, he needs to convert. But actually, come to think of it, if Mike Bloomberg was my dad, he is loaded. And if having like a $1 billion trust fund means that I can never drink a bottle of soda over 16 ounces, I say, huzzah.
Is that your price tag? You'll sell your freedom to be a fatty for a $1 million trust fund?
let's be honest, I'd sell my freedom for a ham sandwich.
I'm going to drink more wildberry tea.
Okay, while you're drinking your wildberry tea, we're going to take a quick commercial break, but when we come back, this is exciting. Fingers Malloy actually got up early this morning just to be on the show. FTR Radio's Fingers Malloy. The Fingers Malloy that I look up to, the Fingers Malloy that is the reason why we all have podcasts. He's coming up right after commercial break. You're listening to Whiskey Rebellion Radio on the mighty FTR.
Oh,
this is Andrew Breitbart, and you're listening to FTR Radio.
Way to go! Follow me!
Mate, buddy!
Thanks, want a ride?
Sure, got a helmet?
A helmet? What are you, some kind of wimp?
No, I just...
Jonathan's just using common sense.
BJ!
Cross country!
That was a close call. You all right?
Yeah, thanks.
These ATVs have as much power as a real motorcycle. You gotta respect them.
And wear helmets for protection.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
We shouldn't be in here. Let's go.
Okay, follow me.
What's the matter, you chicken?
I can't jump that far.
Okay, chicken, I'm leaving you here.
Use your head, Sally.
Lady J!
There's nothing chicken about being smart. If you stop and think, there's almost always a better way.
I use this plank.
That's using your head instead of losing it. Now I know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
I looked up this morning.
Welcome back to Whiskey Rebellion Radio.
It's a giant horse's ass. You're watching Fox.
Our special guest for the morning, and I'm really excited about this because I know like the highlight for my year this year was at CPAC where I got to do like 5 hours of live radio with Fingers Malloy and learn from him, and the fact that he agreed to do this show, it actually means a lot. So, ladies and gentlemen, the man with the mohawk, the host of the Snark Factor from right here every weeknight on the mighty FTR Radio, Indiana's own.
Y'all please make welcome from Detroit, Michigan, my good friend and my big brother in this business.
Wait, what the fuck are you doing here?
That is 5 hours that the listeners of live radio at CPAC will never get back, and it was probably one of the greatest mistakes I've ever made as the executive director of FTR Radio.
Yes. Ladies and gentlemen, unfortunately, I don't know, I guess Fingers couldn't be here, so we're stuck with the host of Duke Over America when he feels like doing it, and
that's
the ED, the executive director, or ED, in more ways than one, of FTR Radio, Tom LeDuc. Welcome to the Whiskey Rebellion.
Hello? Hello, I'm assuming Mark's here, too.
Yeah. Mark, you here, too?
Yeah, hey, Tom. Sorry I only did, like, 3 episodes of the old Whiskey Rebellion and then gave up. But thank you for offering me that time slot.
I got to tell you something, Mark. Actually, it was one of the best moves on your part, and then I think that your head needs to be examined for re-teaming up with this fellow.
You know, between guys driving their trucks in the Taco Bell and the mayor of New York City banning soda and zombie apocalypses and whatnot, this needed a product. This needed an avenue. So it's an hour of my life that I got to vent.
So actually, Tom, speaking of that, because you are from the D, Detroit,
yes.
Florida City.
Yes, yes.
On 8 Mile. And Detroit is known for some of its colorful mayors and being really a working model of the success of what socialism is.
Was it one of your mayors, Suge Knight?
Well, he was, but he got a paying gig.
So what exactly would happen in the D if they tried to outlaw soda?
Oh, there'd be gunfire. There was no way Mayor Bloomberg could pull that shot here because you wouldn't be able to get enough security. There is no way. I mean, can you imagine? No, you can't. You've never been here. You guys come to Detroit sometime, and I'll show you the glorious monuments we have built in gas stations to soda fountain machines, or pop, as we call it correctly. And there's
soda.
No way.
It's called soda.
There is nobody who is going to be taking away my option to get 64 ounces of caffeinated bliss.
In Detroit, do you guys have those soda machines like we do in Florida where there was like 50 million different flavors and it's like a computer screen?
Yes. Yes.
Aren't those great?
They are great. And you know, and then, you know, of course, you go to put ice in there and there's not enough ice, so you can fill up half the 64-ounce cup with ice. It's ridiculous. But there's just no way. I honestly don't know what the hell the people in New York City there are thinking. I mean, it's not. I saw a hashtag today. It's like Nanny Bloomberg. See, not Nanny. He's more like a fascist moron or something. I mean, why in the hell do you got to mess with our pop, you jack jerkle? What the hell's wrong with you?
And especially, it's almost as if that. You know, Bloomberg's walking from his office to the water fountain, and some random person ran up to him and, like, you know something? People are getting fat because of soda, and he just decided he had an idea.
Well, again, I go back to his initial statement. He was like, well, we just want to make people think about it. At what point did we elect somebody to be in office to enact laws to get us to encourage us to think about things? I'd like to know where the trend in this started. At what point was it the government's role to say, you need to think about these things? Because I'm pretty certain that was my parents' job.
This is something that I've been bitching about for a while, and I think on the Snark Factor a couple weeks ago, during the Tigers whatever game, in a half-hour period, I saw the commercials for the annual, hey, the cops are going to pull you over if you're not wearing a seatbelt. And I went on a 10-minute rant about it. And this is just pervasive throughout government. A lot of people are like, well, you know, but you should wear your seatbelt. You're absolutely right. You should wear your seatbelt. So why don't you take 100% of that money and put it into education instead of 60% into the pension funds of the municipalities or whatever it is in each municipality for the cops' pension funds. It's never about safety. It's about them telling you what to do. And I got to imagine that probably to enforce this, you know, they would ticket people who, you know, had larger than 16 ounces or anything, the establishments that sold it, and then they would probably ticket people on the street if they brought it in because it's like contraband.
Well, that's the thing. For every cop they put in a deli to make sure that you're only or a McDonald's to make sure that you're buying the right size cup is another cop that isn't out there solving fucking murders.
Yeah, it's just, honestly, there's no logical reason for it. But a lot of people, they kind of go, well, you know, yeah, you should wear your seatbelt, and you should not drink all these sugary drinks and everything and such. Oh, for the love of God, I mean, just stop it. But, you know, that's why people like John Brodigan vote for people like fascist Bloomberg.
Well, you know, you asked before why New Yorkers continue to vote him in. It's because he gave gay kids their own high school in New York City down in the Village. That's why. He'll forever be a hero in New York City because he gave gay kids a high school, their own high school.
Well, you know what? Now I know what it takes.
No,
yeah.
My all-time favorite Mike Bloomberg story. So after he had them change the rules so he could run for a third term, he tried to get the GOP line on the ballot, and I think the Republican Party and the New York Republican Party and all of its wisdom, but I kid myself, decided that since we have no one else, we might as well give him the ballot line. So Mike Bloomberg, and because he'd be good for fundraising. So Mike Bloomberg gets the Republican ballot line, he gets the Republican nomination for mayor, and then the next day says he's not going to bother the campaigning for any of the Republican candidates in New York City because they have no chance of winning.
Tom, let me ask you this, kind of riffing on what John just said. If the Republicans are going to actively choose to run people and get behind people who really aren't Republicans, and I don't want to just throw the name Rhino out there because that's about as watered down a term as one can get. But I mean people really who are not Republicans, they're not conservatives. They just take the name anyway because that's what you need to run in a certain place or whatever the story is. What is the point of the Republican Party running these people if they go against every part of the platform in the damn party?
I would think that at crunch time, when there's an important vote, they get to crack the whip and they fall in line. I mean, that's generally it. I mean, that's why, you know, like in Olympia Snow up in Maine, if the Republicans took control of the Senate and there was a very close vote, you know, 50-49 or something like that, generally what happens is they crack the whip and that person falls in line. So I'm thinking that's it. Now, I think John and I have talked about this before. I'm not of the opinion that Rhino means anything. Rhino, a Republican in name only. Well, you can have a bunch of moderates that make up the majority of the Republican Party. Thus, the party is a moderate party. So then Republican in name only, what the hell does that mean? If you're talking about conservatism, that's a totally different thing, and you're right. That's so watered down, and when people use it, they regurgitate it ad nauseum because they don't know what they're saying anymore. It's just something they heard, and they think it's a rhino, you know, it's cute. Well, John Boehner is the head of the Republican Party right now, technically, until Mitt Romney becomes the nominee officially, and off we go. And John Boehner's career, he's fallen in line on the big issues and everything, but he's been kind of moderate on a lot of things.
That's what I mean about broadening the term and watering it down. You have somebody who, you know, like a Romney or a John McCain, you know, they have some beliefs that, you know, lean what you might call liberal, but, you know, for the most part, they're conservative here and they're kind of a mixed bag. And then you have someone like Michael Bloomberg, who was never a conservative. I mean, he's about as conservative as Nancy Pelosi. Yet he took the Republican name so that he could, you know, ride Giuliani's coattails into the mayor's office.
Actually, it doesn't even stop there. He was a registered Democrat up until he decided to run as Rudy Giuliani's successor. Then he became a Republican. When Republican became like a dirty word and everyone's like, ooh, I have to be an independent, then he decided to switch parties and become an independent. Was he independent for the second term of his mayorship while he was thinking about running for president as an independent? Then when it came time to run for a third term, decided he was a Republican again.
Michael Bloomberg and Barack Obama should go bowling together.
Well, I got to tell you something. This is why I have absolutely zero respect for Rudy Giuliani. Because in that first meeting when they met after he won, and, of course, your guys' primary was on September 11th, I believe,
yeah.
And that had to be all postponed and everything. After Bloomberg had actually won, Giuliani should have met him, you know, like they do, talk about transfer of power, and snapped his neck.
Well, okay, actually, in Giuliani's defense, They did the transfer of power in Times Square when the ball dropped, so there were too many cameras.
And too much liquor.
Well, yeah.
I'm talking about the pre-meeting.
The pre-meeting.
Giuliani comes out, he goes, "I don't know, I was talking about something," and all of a sudden he banged his head on the table and he's dead.
You know, I don't think he... But that was the thing. It's kind of like petting a monkey and then finding out later on that you've got Ebola. I mean, you don't know. It's a cute little monkey. You're welcome.
Wow. I had a... You know, I was going to go with speaking of the Rhino versus conservative bullshit as a segue, but now that you brought up an Ebola monkey, Tom, Mitt Romney. I mean, you've actually, again, you brought this on the show. I mean, you resolved the fact that he was going to be the nominee months ago, and if conservatives were serious, we would have just found someone who could actually, you know, communicate and win. What's been your take on Romney so far since he's been a de facto nominee for, like, I think 3 months now?
You know, I think he's done okay. You know, he hasn't really boofed anything big. And if, you know, the way that he ran this campaign is really any indication, you're going to have a couple speed bumps, which you're going to, and they're going to stay on message. And it just became obvious to me early on that that's what was going to happen. You know, I mean, this guy had learned from 4 years ago. He put the time in. He put the work in. He's shaken the hands. He's kissed the heads of the babies. He knows what the issues are, and he knows what to stay away from. So I'm anticipating that if they do a traditional VP candidate that's got a little bit of teeth, you know, that'll be the attack dog, and Mitt will just stay on script, smile. Hopefully he comes across as likable as President Obama. I don't know, and you know, this is of course not live on Sunday. Do people know that?
Yes, they do.
Good, because today was the unveiling of George W. Bush's portrait at the White House. And that happened, of course, Thursday and today. I'm messing up my timeline. And Barack Obama went up there and he gave a great speech. President Obama gave a great speech. And when he gives a speech like that, and he kind of isn't talking the political stuff, and he goes on the humanizing level, he's really good. You know, and if Mitt Romney can do that, plus with the economy, plus with the foreign policy snafus and some of the amateur hour, I just saw a poll last week that's, you know, the Electoral College, I mean, Obama's down by 100.
Well, not for nothing. Hulk Hogan's got a lot of charisma, too, but I wouldn't want to see him in the White House. But let me ask you this, sir.
No. That's totally different because, I mean, Mitt Romney's not going to rip his shirt off and call me brother.
I hope not.
If he did, he'd make a better candidate. But let me ask you this. Besides a hat or a brooch, what do you make of Donald Trump's associating himself with Romney vis-a-vis the rumor that Romney might want to pick him as the VP, since you mentioned that before?
The only person who considers that a serious rumor is Donald Trump.
Yeah. No. That reminds me of, because I attended WrestleMania, whatever, 40, when it was here in Detroit in, I think, 2006. And that was where Donald Trump and Vince McMahon had that standoff, and it was like whoever lost in the match that they picked their surrogates was going to get the head shaved. And there were actually retards walking into Ford Field going, you know, Trump's going to get his head shaved today. And I actually turned around and beat some guy to death.
It's still real to me, brother.
No, he is not.
That's a callback.
He's not going to be the VP. Trump just likes to be around power, and he likes publicity. Now, the article that I saw the other day that you guys sent me on Breitbart, where John Sununu was going after Soledad O'Brien, which, A, I didn't know John Sununu was still alive.
He is.
Congrats, Governor Sununu. Glad you're still with us. Okay. I thought you died when President Bush 41 broke the no new taxes pledge. Evidently, I wasn't paying close enough attention. But he goes into this whole thing about what Trump and saying, you know, basically Trump's the only person out there talking about it. Yeah, Trump is, because he likes the attention. He likes being near power. I mean, if he's seen as a player, then he's going to get an invite to the inaugural balls. And maybe he'll be there as often as, what's the name of the person that Jay Carney doesn't know? So that's, you know, been to the White House like 30 sometimes or whatever. Hillary Rosen.
Yeah, he, it's not that he doesn't know her. He knows three Hillary Rosens, and it could have been anyone that was learning the same thing.
That's right. That's right. So that's all. I mean, that's all Trump is, and I mean, people understand it. And I probably wouldn't be standing close to him in, you know, any time after the convention. But for right now, you know, Donald Trump, people watch him on TV. They like him. And if Trump's out there saying, you know what, I think he'd be a better guy, and you tell him just to stick to the economic stuff, hey, he's all right. He's not going to be VP. He's not going to be anything. He's not going to be Secretary of Treasury. He's not going to be the Undersecretary of Undercarriages. He's not going to be anything in the Romney administration.
So tell me this. Why does the lazy mainstream media feel the need to obsess over this man when there's real stories to report?
Well, I mean, basically because, I mean, he's an attention whore, and he's saying something stupid right now.
Yeah. Speaking of saying something stupid, though.
Oh, boy.
No, this is actually...
oh, no.
No, you had mentioned how, like, you know, President Obama gave a good speech to George Bush at the White House today.
Mm-hmm.
So you know how, like, the Democrats and Barack Obama has been spending the past 9 years of his presidency blaming George Bush for everything?
Yeah.
So today was the day that the Obama campaign was going to attack Mitt Romney's gubernatorial record in Massachusetts. And
yeah.
They actually said that all the bad things Mitt Romney did while he was governor, while the rest of the country saw a brightening economy. Mitt Romney was governor between 2003 and 2007. Tom, who was president in 2003?
Why, I believe that was Bill Clinton.
Close.
No?
Who won re-election for president in 2004?
I believe Mike Dukakis.
No, Martin Luther King.
W. Bush.
What
Make sure it wasn't Martin Luther King.
That's a cause for
it. And not to mention also, what political party was in control in 2003 in both the House and the Senate and picked up seats in 2004?
I think that would have been the Republicans.
Barack Obama just lost George Bush.
In a backward sort of, he sure did. He sure did. Now, I don't know if you guys saw the ceremony today, but former President Bush had a great line. You know, and he said, well, now that my picture's hanging in the White House, and I know the pressures that go with the presidency, Barack, I know that at some point you'll be walking down the halls looking at these pictures while you have a great many issues on your mind, and you'll stop in my picture and think, now, I wonder what George would do here. Awesome line. The whole place cracked up, and you could tell, but that's about the closest he'll get to taking a shot. And President Obama just probably just sat there saying, if I could shoot you.
I don't even think he got it.
Oh, no, I'm sure he did. He laughed. Everyone else was laughing, so he knew obligatorily he had to.
Yeah.
The whole issue of Obama blaming Bush and everything, that worked for the first year. And then a year and a half, you know, people are starting to go, okay, you know, kind of like I've heard this song before. It's like a Lady Gaga thing. It was really cute for 90 minutes, and now I'm done. Now you're into 3.5 years, and it's like, yeah, but really, what have you done? And they're grasping at straws now. It really does seem like that they are kind of like there's a new tactic a week now because they're just looking to see anything that sticks. But my fear is, just like, John, you've done some articles about, hey, Scott Walker's down by 2 points.
Exactly.
My fear is that the election, you know, could be close, and these things sometimes you got to look at the electoral map, you know, in addition to the popular vote. And my fear really is that Barack Obama does come across as an extremely likable person. When people compare it to 1979 and Jimmy Carter did not compare in likability to Ronald Reagan, even though they were trying to portray him as a nutbag that just wanted to nuke things like he pretended like he did in the movies. Barack Obama comes across as a nice person. And if they figure that out, to tone down the rhetoric and to change the focus to make it fuzzy and to put the halo back over his head, well, now he can make it a game in some states.
Well, let me ask
because,
you, Tom. I'm sorry, finish your point.
Well, I was just going to say, because Mitt Romney is a very nice guy. But in terms of the likability factor, they're really still going to have to work with him because you can just see that he's so trained, and this probably goes back to his dad's run for the presidency in 68, where Nixon savaged him after some misstatements and everything. And you could just always see that he's very, very, I don't want to say contrived, but he's really thinking through what he has to say, and that comes across. And if you watch him enough, and maybe this is just because I watch all these speeches, but if you watch him enough, you can see that. And Obama has the same problem sometimes, but it just seems that Obama comes across a little warmer. So that's not a huge, huge issue, but it is stuff I look for, and it's because I don't have a social life.
Yeah. And we actually do have to let Tom go. Because he's got the snark factor, and we have to talk about the zombie attack with bath salts. Mr. LeDuc, the ED, ED of FTR Radio, thank you for putting up with me, and we will talk to you soon.
John, as always, it's an extreme pleasure. Mark, good talking to you again. Take care, my friend. Make sure that you keep John in line. If there are any other zombie attacks down in Florida, make sure John's part of it.
Will do.
Take care, man.
All right, take care.
And we'll be right back with the debut of a brand new segment on With Rebellion Radio, What the Brack from the Sunshine State. You're listening to the Whiskey Rebellion.
Already, I was just in the middle of a dream. I was kissed in Valentino by a crystal blue Italian stream. And I can't be late, cause then I guess I just won't get paid. These are the days when you wish your bed was already made. It was just another manic Monday. I wish it was Sunday.
This is Andrew Breitbart, and you're listening to FTR Radio.
Boy, am I hungry.
What do you want?
Maybe I'll get an apple.
An apple? Let's buy some candy.
Hold on, fellas.
Nice line.
Listen to your friend Terrell. He's got the right idea.
Yeah, you never catch an NBA player eating a candy bar before a game.
A candy bar might give you a quick boost of energy, but after 20 minutes, you'll feel run down. So let's eat smart.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I.
Joe! Nice bike. Maybe we could borrow it? No, that's stealing. I'll ask for permission later.
Uh-oh. Looks like you're asking for trouble now.
Shipwreck!
How would you like it if someone took your bike?
I wouldn't.
And if you get caught?
I'd definitely end up in trouble.
Remember, taking something that isn't yours just isn't right.
Now I know.
And knowing is half the battle.
G.I. Joe!
Back. Thank you for tuning in to Whiskey Rebellion Radio.
It's a giant horse's ass. You're watching Fox.
And a brand new segment because, generally speaking, whenever you see something in the news or on Facebook that makes you have to double-check to see if it's actually an article from The Onion, there's this 80% chance that it took place in the People's Republic of Florida. And since Mark is in Florida, he's actually in ground zero for the insanity that goes down there. So, a brand new segment, and we gave you the old one before. We're giving you a new one now. What the Buck from the Sunshine State. So, Mark, if I'm to understand correctly, I believe Florida is ground zero for the long-awaited zombie attack.
Listen, man, if one more person tells me it was a zombie attack, I'm going to take my pants off and throw it at them straight up in their mush. Let me tell you what. There's no zombie attack in Florida. Let me break it down for you, John. Let me give you the straight scoop. There's a guy. Well, there was a guy. Now he's full of bullet holes. There was a guy in Miami who's 31 years old, right? And he did drugs. Whenever there's something nutty happens, you can 9 out of 10 times, it isn't zombies, it isn't the government, it isn't voodoo, it's fucking drugs, man. It's always drugs. So this guy, Rudy Eugene, 31, got naked and ate the face of Ronald Popo, 65-year-old man. And when the police said, stop doing that, sir, as you do in Miami when you're an officer, he didn't. He snarled at them like a dog. And so, you know, they said stop, or we'll say stop again. And when he didn't and snarled, they shot him dead.
Okay. Sir.
Yes.
Would you please stop eating that man's face?
Sir, we're only going to ask. Sir, we are the Miami Police Department, and we're going to ask that you stop eating that man's face. Grrr. So, you know, they took a bite out of crime as he took a bite out of the guy's nose.
Boo!
You're welcome. But, okay, here's the thing. He's not a zombie, all right? Would you please stop with the zombie? I know my friends. I know, like, everybody on Facebook. Ha, ha, we're so funny and hip. Fuck you and your goddamn zombies and your mythical creatures. There's no unicorns. There's no zombies. Go fuck yourself. It's drugs, man. The guy took synthetic hallucinogens called bath salts. What's bath salts? Well, bath salts, up until recently, were something that you could actually buy in a head shop, or you buy it over the counter, and it's basically a synthetic drug. It's a synthetic hallucinogen. Yeah, here it is. Bath salts are sold at convenience stores, head shops, and gas stations, or maybe purchased on the Internet. They're often mislabeled to avoid detection by officials, and their labels may read, not intended for human consumption, according to the CDC. So basically, what you have is a bunch of people who, because this drug's illegal and that drug's illegal, and they've made it, you know, somewhat difficult to try to get drugs, or at least legally get drugs, you have people who go into their basements and into their garages. I mean, if you go back, this is how meth got started. Meth doesn't grow on trees, last time I checked. You don't go out into the bush and go cut yourself a little bit of the old meth and put it in a little paper and smoke it. You got to make that shit with gasoline and this and that. And then you got the kids who go down to the drugstore and they get the cold medicine and they huff the whole damn thing and then they hallucinate and die. Okay? Triple C's, that's what they call them. This is an extension of that. It's people going into their houses, getting a bunch of ingredients together, and inventing stuff. And for more on this epidemic, we go to our drug abuse analyst, Chris Rock.
People love to get high, man. You can give it to all the illegal drugs in the world. Won't mean shit. People want to get high. You can give it all the crack, all the herb, all the blow. You know what happens? People will just think of new ways of getting high. That's right, guys will go in their basement and become scientists. Like, yo, check this out. You know, if you get a baby's bottle, right, fill it up with a little gasoline and dead lima bean and suck it, you'll be fucked up.
Yeah, that's pretty much the size of it, John. So it wasn't a zombie. It was people who want to get high. They want drugs. Despite years and years and years of a war on drugs, despite years and years and years of the belief in prohibition, which worked very, very well for alcohol, as I recall, it worked poorly. Despite all these endeavors to try to prohibit things, people go out and do them anyway, whether it's wearing your seatbelt or smoking cigarettes or drinking soda or getting high. People will find a way to do it anyway if they so desire. What kills me about an issue like this, and it's an unfortunate thing that a guy, you know, did hallucinogens, went crazy, ate a guy's face, and, you know, and of course we're all a bunch of idiots, so we go about the zombie thing instead of looking at the real deal. The real deal is that we live in a country, we have a culture in this country that is so addicted to drugs, so addicted to the easy route, so addicted to having things handed to them, that we don't ever look to solve that problem. Everything's got to come in a pill. Everything's got to come easy. Got a problem? Take a pill. It goes away. Doesn't go away. It doesn't go away. Your pain doesn't go away. The problem doesn't go away just because you took a pill. That is the problem with this country. I mean, do you realize how many kids out there today are on all kinds of medication that ends up screwing them up years down the line? I mean, some of this stuff is necessary, and in some cases it's actually helpful, but in very, very few. And the thing of it is, it's getting worse. Now the new thing is to call every kid you meet autistic. If a kid's shy, he's autistic. If a kid's a little socially awkward, he's autistic. If a kid falls down, he's autistic. Kid doesn't talk by the time he's two. He's autistic. What do you do if he's autistic? Give him drugs. It'll be fine. It'll be great. This is the problem here. Not a fucking zombie apocalypse. It's our addiction to drugs, which is really an addiction to the easy way out. That's what I got to say about this, John.
So you
said did I lose you somewhere?
You're saying that there was no zombie attack in Florida?
My pants just got put in the mail. They're being express delivered to you to hit you in the face.
And that, my friends, is what the fuck from the Sunshine State.
Sounds an awful like why I'm mortified, doesn't it?
It really does, but you know, everything's happening organically, and I think what the book from the Sunshine State is, frankly, I'm mortified. That's more Florida specific.
Folks, if you're tuning into the show just to see me get pissed off and yell about something and use lots of curse words, it really matters what label we put on it. It's not for human consumption.
Yes, so basically, this is you during the week. You know, hi, I'm Mark. I'm on the computer. Hey, that article gets me mortified. Where did it take place? Tallahassee? What the fuck from the Sunshine State?
Yeah, that's pretty much what we do here. Is I find an article that pisses me off, and we figure out, well, is there another way I can say it?
Ooh, a new segment. What the fuck from the Empire State?
This is kind of like Dr. Pepper 10, you know? It's like, you have Dr. Pepper, you have Diet Dr. Pepper, Dr. Pepper with only 10 calories. It's the fucking Dr. Pepper. What are you talking about?
Well, yeah, that's actually what happened in the last show, because once we got to the Diet Vanilla Coke of the segment, we decided, you know, something, it's time to hang it up. But on that pleasant note, thank you for joining us on Whiskey Rebellion. For Mark, for Tom LaDuke, for the Not Zombie in Florida, Take It Away, Not 38 Special, and I would like to dedicate the song to my niece, Charlotte. We'll see you next week.